Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now let's read together, please. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to hear the scriptures read each week and then hear the different preaching on the subject in the verse that we read. God, it's been exciting. It's been wonderful. It's been encouraging. It's been convicting at times. And God, I pray that you continue to work in our hearts and our lives even today. God, use Pastor Johnson as he comes and preaches to us. Help us to hear what he says and then apply in our lives what the Word of God says to do. Now, help us today. Now, Father, for this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. And Holy Spirit, help us as the listeners to hear. Now, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
The steps of a good man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, listen carefully. That means if you'll let God order your life. That's simply what it means. Let God give you the steps you're supposed to take, the next step, and then the one after that, etc. If you'll let God order your steps, and by the way, he will do that with this book you hold in your hands this morning, the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 23, if you'll do that, you'll let God order. By the way, can I ask you a question? Why wouldn't you want God to do that? So I'd rather do it myself. Now, that's how we mess our lives up. God knows what he's doing. His vantage point is much different than ours, and he's God, and he can do a much better job of directing us than we can directing ourselves. Now, look at that verse. It says, he delighteth in his way. Remember, there's a twofold purpose here. If you'll let God direct your steps, you will come to delight in the way that God has given you. You'll find purpose and direction in your life. You'll actually enjoy it. You will actually come to delight in the way that God gives you, just like you think of something that causes you great delight in your life. If you let God order your steps, you'll find that. So I want to know what that is, and then No. You let him order your steps, and then you'll come to know that. That's where our life gets sideways, sidetracked, and seems to have no purpose. We want to run our lives instead of let God do that. Let God do that, and you will delight in the way he sends you. But the second purpose, or the second full purpose is this. He, God, delights in the way you take. Now that should be higher on our priority list, but I hope it is on the list anyway, that you will realize how pleased God will be with your life. And if God is pleased, I assure you, his favor will be upon your life. He'll be more ready to listen and hear. He'll be more ready to respond to the things in your life because you have caused him to delight in the way that you take. Now then, we looked at what the steps are. They start at verse number 3. If you look back there with me very quickly, we'll review and then we'll get to the rest of the message. Trust in the Lord. That's step number 1. Step number 2, delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 4. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7, please, rest in the Lord. Then you drop down to verse number 34 and you wait on the Lord. 5 steps that he orders us to take from this psalm. Now listen, you remember something? We have to take these steps in order. You don't just start in the middle and take off. You start here. You start with trusting in the Lord. That's a basic element of our faith and confidence that God knows what he's doing. And people, God knows what he's doing. It may not look that way to you, but it doesn't have to look right to be right. It's God knows what he's doing. So we take these steps in order, trust and delight and commit and rest and wait. You take them in the order. Number next, the ability to take the next step is found in taking the previous one with the exception of trusting in the Lord. That one you have to do just from simple faith. And you have faith in something, so it shouldn't be a problem. But if you'll trust in the Lord, you'll find you'll be able to delight in him, which means in the Bible, to delight in the Lord means to be soft and malleable in his hands. It simply means being yielded to him. And if you'll delight in him, the Bible says you'll be able to commit your way unto the Lord. Last week was that commit. Commit in the Bible means to take a rock on top of a hill and push it off and let it go. Let go and let God, all those cutesy pie statements that they hear made, that's what it's talking about. It's the idea of you start this thing and God takes it from there, but you commit it to his way. commit thy way unto the Lord, the Bible says. But you see, that's a tough one for me. But not if you've learned to yield yourself to Him because you trusted in God. You understand, the ability to take the next step is found in taking the preceding step. Now listen, and if you get off track in these steps of the good man, go back to the first one again. Or if you get to commit your way into the Lord and you think, well, I can't just turn loose of my life like that. You need to go back to trusting in Him then. Because if you trust God, my friend, you'll find Him faithful. Then you'll be able to delight in Him. You yield to the Lord. Then you can come to commit and God says, here's what I want. And you can go ahead and let God start to take the direction for your life. Good? Now then, this morning we're at verse number 7. Rest in the Lord. That's step number 4. Do you know what rest in the Lord means? Visual definition. It means stand still and be quiet. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. You see, preacher, I'm still hung up on that commit thing. I can't get past that one. That's a tough one for me. Go back to step number 1. When you trusted Him, He failed you, right? He disappointed you, broke your heart, didn't do what you wanted, took everything away from you, gave you nothing in life. I didn't say you got everything you wanted. We are not a blab it and grab it church, okay? Say it and pay it, prosperity gospel, you get everything God ever wanted to get. You know, you'll find gold dust at your house and all this kind of junk. We don't do that. And only cults provide that kind of junk or advocate that. That's a cult. And we got one here in town. It's a cult. I said you trust in the Lord. But now wait a minute. But you found that if you found yourself to yield to Him, He gave you new desires. Part of those new desires, it says, He'll give thee the desires of thine heart. Part of those new desires is God gives you the desire to commit yourself to Him. But you found that when you pushed that rock off the hill, when you committed this way that you wanted to take, you committed it to God. You didn't just throw your life away. You committed it to God by obedience to His word. You found, as you watched that life go, you thought to yourself, well, there's just some things I don't understand. Then rest in the Lord. Is it possible today in society? Is it possible to stand still and be quiet anywhere? This cell phone thing is nuts. I'm seeing people walking through intersections texting on their telephone. I thought, you are going to be a hood ornament. And I might volunteer to make you a hood ornament because you're walking so cotton-picking slow, you're wasting my time. It's unbelievable. They cannot put their phone down. They talk on the stupid thing all the time or they're texting all the time. They have it going 24/7 or a TV or something. Can anybody just stand still and be quiet anymore? You know, there was a day in our land when people, when they built their homes and their houses, they built places to be alone and quiet. Now we have to build somewhere for our 94,000 square inch television set and theater surround sound system with chairs that vibrate when there's an earthquake and have sensory odors that come out of it when you go across the desert or something. What's the matter with people? We build entertainment centers in our homes instead of places to have some quiet. I'm thankful this is not where God started. If He started with stand still and be quiet, I think I'd have a hard time with that one. But if you've taken these steps, you get to this one here. After you committed your way unto the Lord, there's going to come a time you're going to need to stand still and be quiet. Why? Psalm 46, verse 10, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. That is what's lost in our society today. People with time and take the time. It's not that we don't have the time. I'm sorry, but we do. Talk to me now. Look at me this morning. You know, compare your time with God with your television time and tell me we don't have time for God. Tell me that we don't have time. You spend hours on social media, Facebooking people who don't even really care about your life, but they don't have a life either, so they Facebook you back. Go ahead. Don't have to bow your head and pray. You know what I'm talking about. They want to send you pictures of the latest dirty diaper their kid had or something, and you're dumb enough to look at it. I mean, think about it, people. Good night, nurse. We'll spend hours on social media and email and texting and everything else, but we don't have time for God because we're too busy. We're not too busy. We have complicated our lives. And that step of stand still and know that He is God, my friend, that is essential. Because when he said, be still and know that I am God, He meant quiet your heart, your soul, and your life, and get alone with the Creator of this universe and let Him work in your heart and your life. Now, for that to be, you have to be a child of God. God works in everyone's lives, and I agree with that. But until a person is saved, God is going to work in their life to bring them to their salvation. He's going to work in circumstances and situations, but everything is going to be pushing them to the cross and repentance and faith in the finished work of Jesus at Calvary. But after you became a child of God, we talk about it. One of the great purposes of salvation is to give you fellowship with your Creator. And not just collective fellowship, but individual, one at a time, you and God kind of fellowship. But you have to be still and know that He's God. No, we can't turn the TV off. We can't back up from social media. We can't get unplugged from the electronics of our lives. We can't stop long enough to give ourselves a moment to rest in the Lord. To simply stand still and be quiet. But if you would, I assure you, you'll understand that when you committed your way unto Him, He hasn't made any mistakes yet. God is still very much in control of your life. If you've done it God's way, you may have pushed the rock off the hill. Gravity isn't pulling it down. God is directing this. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him, the Bible says. Now, when do we need to do this rest in the Lord thing? Number one, you need to do it when you continue to ask Him why. Listen very carefully. It is not wrong to ask God why. It is not. People say that. You should never question God. I don't think you ought to doubt Him, but you better ask Him some questions. Why is a good thing. Remember Jesus on the cross? My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He wasn't questioning God. He was asking a question. It's not wrong to ask God. Hey, look at me. There are times to ask God why. When you suffer, you need to know that. Read the book of 1 Peter. It's a book about suffering and the why and the what of suffering in the life of the child of God. And it'll tell you, better that you suffer for the will of God, and that be so, than you suffer for wrongdoing. Well, how do you know the difference? You better ask Him. You need to ask God why when there's things you don't understand. God is a loving Heavenly Father. He has no problem with helping us with questions. Any wise parent doesn't have a problem with the child asking why. Doubting the parent is the problem. Demanding an answer is trouble. You parents who treat your five-year-olds like they're theologians, you're out of your mind. The kid doesn't need to know the why behind take out the trash. He just needs to take out the cotton pick and trash. That's all he needs to know. I don't care if he doesn't feel good about himself while he's doing it. Take it out anyhow. We're not going to read the auras and feel the bumps on your head. Just take out the cotton pick and trash, kid. Make your bed. Don't go through that. Well, here's the reason why you ought to do all the stuff you ought to do. Yeah, just do it so you can keep breathing. Anyway, so, I mean that in a facetious. No, I don't. But anyway, here's the point. So it's not wrong when you suffer, when you wonder, hey, when you prosper, when you get something you didn't plan on or God blesses you in some area, you should ask Him why He did that. See, I know I did it because I'm going to Vegas, bro, and we're running this thing up. No. Do you understand? He doesn't just bless you to bless you. He blesses you to be a blessing. And it's wrong to just, that's why he said, well, I don't get a lot of blessings. Probably because you didn't learn how to share some of that stuff and help somebody else with it. It's just like you're the Dead Sea instead of the Jordan River. You know, everything just kind of died with you. You need to ask, so look at me. So it's not wrong to ask why. Listen to me. I did not say you need to stand still and be quiet when you ask why. I said when you continue to ask why. What does verse 7 say? Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. After you've asked why, and you didn't get an answer, or you didn't get the answer you wanted, that's usually what people have a problem with. God gives them an answer. They didn't want that answer. They want a different answer. Why am I having all these hard times in my life? You won't do the right thing. But why am I having all these hard times in my life? You won't do the right thing. But why am I having it? You're not listening. He's giving you answers. You won't accept them. Look at me. It's not wrong to ask why once or even twice, but after you keep asking about the very same thing, it's time to rest in the Lord. Yeah, I just stand there and take it, Pastor Johnson. It said wait patiently. You've done that. Your kids are in the car, they're little, and you're taking a long driving trip together. By the way, don't give them like Prozac or anything. You take it. Or a prescription for marijuana, whatever the case may be. No, don't do that. But the truth is, what do? You're not even out of town. Are we there yet? You're driving to San Diego. We're going to be on the road a while. Don't ask again. And the kid's sitting there, you know, 10 minutes later, are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. It'll be a while. Now look, a four-year-old's not going to understand 9 hours. They're just not going to get it. So you know what you're going to do after a while. Hush, and don't ask me again. So what do they have to do? They have to sit there and be quiet. Or at least quit asking you, one or the other. Look here, people. Listen to me. How can he give you the answer you need to hear if you won't listen? Look at me. How can God, through the Word of God and the impression of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, how can he get you the answer if you won't be quiet so he can give it to you? Isn't that kind of basic? And after you keep asking why about the very same thing over and over and over and over and over again, doesn't that show the fact that we really have lost our trust in the Lord? Because that continual asking thing turns into doubting after a while, and now you're questioning God, you're in trouble. You better go back to trusting the Lord now. See? But you'll get up here. Or you just stand still and be quiet. It's an old story in our church, but years ago when our youngest Peter was a little guy, take him to church in his little suit and his tie. After church one Sunday morning, I was taking him out the car, went to pick him up, put him in the car, and he crunched. And I thought, what is that, son? And his pockets were bulging. His coat pocket, suit pocket. What is all this stuff in there? Put my hand out. What is that? He started loading up with candy. Then I put both hands out. Then I put it on the hood of the car. And he's just dumping out candy. All these pieces of candy. And then he starts pulling out money. I said, son, where did you get all that? They give it to me. Who gives it to you? Ladies in the church. Son, tell me you're not going up there asking people for stuff. How much money you got? Maybe we can go to lunch. Let me see here. Hold on a second. Son, no. He says, I said, don't, Peter Michael Johnson, do not ask for any stuff from people. The little bugger was going around and working a circuit in the church. All the ladies. And he was getting candy and money. When he found out they gave money, he didn't want money, candy anymore. He wanted money. I said, you little Robin Hood, knock it off. Don't do that. Don't go around asking people for stuff. So we come back the next Sunday. I said, now, boy, I am watching you. Don't you ask anybody for anything. You hear me? Yes, sir. Okay, fine. Take him to church. Turn loose his little hand. He walks over to this older lady, and he stands there. I was in eye shot and ear shot of him. I said, Peter Michael? He goes, I'm just waiting. She turned around, opened her purse, gave him a piece of candy. I went, well, he didn't ask. So then he would just do that. He would just go around, stand there, Didn't put his hand out, didn't ask for anything. He just said, I'm just waiting. So, well, I'm not a little child and that doesn't work with me. Well, then, you know what? Maybe you need to be a little more childlike. When we continue to, please listen, continue to ask why, there comes a time, stand still and be quiet. Wait patiently for Him. You know what else that rest in the Lord comes in? When you need to stand still and be quiet? Because of what you see in life. You ever hear somebody say, why is it that the stinking wicked got the limos and the car and the money and the stuff and the righteous are pushing their car to church every Sunday? What is that? Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous seem to have such a hard time in life? Why do we have to, you know, labor and working hard and doing everything else? And why do we have to, these stinking heathens get everything that they want? Dennis Rodman went to North Korea and met with the president or whatever that nut is over there in North Korea. Do you know why? He thought he was the president. But no, the truth is, what happens is, we think, what, Dennis Rodman, the man with the intellect of a boat anchor. I know rocks that have more intelligence than Dennis Rodman. Of course, he did look better in a wedding dress than some women I've seen, but that has nothing to do with it. I'm thinking to myself, what in the world? How does a nut like that get to be with a nut like that in North Korea? And then I thought to myself, well, go ahead. But you know what? I don't want to meet with Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is. Look at me. People, does it really bother you that the wicked seem to prosper? Do you not understand Galatians 6:7? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. People like Rodman and these people, they don't even have a friend on the planet. They have nobody that they can trust. There's nothing in their life that's worthwhile to them, but they're in the newspapers. Yeah, murderers are in the newspaper. Politicians, the same thing. In the newspaper, all these people, what is that? Do you really care? I don't care. If Donald Trump makes billions of dollars, he needs it to comb all that stuff over. That's you know, big deal. See, he drives around a limo because his head's too big to get in a regular car. When you see things in life that do not make any sense to you, did you know that there's sometimes you just need to stand still and be quiet and realize that the moment never details or delineates anything? And do you know that people will reap what they have sown in their life? Do you understand that some will escape man's justice, but no one will escape the justice of God? You give God time, friend, He'll always come through on what He says. So rather than get all knotted up about it, turn off Fox News, get your Bible out, sit down and read the Word of God, and stand still and be quiet. See, well, I see these people climbing the ladder of success in life, and they have the accolades of millions. Yes, and how many more of them have to fall on their face like Tiger Woods? How much? How many more times do we have to see these poor people? And I, by the way, and it's not like I enjoy watching their life blow up because I feel sorry for them. But you know what, folks? I'm not going to question the economy of God and the working of God and the way He does things, because God will make it the way He says it will be. God. Hey, the righteous win, the wicked lose. God. Jesus will rule and reign from this earth. Stand still and be quiet. So when we continue to ask why, that's a good be quiet time. When what we see in life doesn't make sense to us, that's a good time to stand still and be quiet. It's saved a lot of you people ulcers, high blood pressure, ADHD, panic attacks, and everything else if you'll just stand still and be quiet. Honestly, it'll help you so much in life. I'm sorry. I don't feel bad standing in line with a package of bologna and a can of Beanie Weenies, and the dude behind me's got a basket load of stuff that costs hundreds of bucks that I'm also paying for. It doesn't bother me. He gets his, I get my. Hey, look at me. I bought my bologna and Beanie Weenies. You hear me? I bought them. Bought them with hard-earned labor, and I'm going to go home and eat them stinking Beanie Weenies and that bologna, and enjoy every minute of it, because I paid for that with the blessing and the grace of God in my life. That doesn't bother me. Does it bother you? Some of you are still not convinced. I don't know what to do for you. Rest in the Lord. Stand still and be quiet. Lastly, when we obey. See, here's what happens. After we've done what God told us to do, we think immediately all the problems are kinked out, all the roads are smooth, all the seas are silvery and glass, all my problems are done, and I don't have any more trouble because I'm doing what God said I'm supposed to do. So then why is 2/3 of the New Testament written from prison? And not because they were perverts or murderers, because they didn't follow the law of God. Man, they followed the law of God, and they got thrown in jail for it. But two-thirds of this New Testament was written behind bars or in a hole in the ground somewhere. So why is that? We talk about the patience of Job. Well, you know where the patience of Job came from. He lost everything. I mean all of it. Everything but his wife. He lost his health. He lost his children. He lost his possessions. He lost everything. And sitting in the ashes picking his sores. That was a guy who was a just and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. That was the most. God said, there is nobody on this earth like Job. He was one of a kind, and he lost it all. Job said, if we've taken good from God all these years, can't we take bad for a while? And he just sat in the ashes for a while. Stand still. Be quiet. See, we think we do right, I should get everything I want from God that instant. Excuse me. It's still the sowing and reaping principle. For if you sow to the flesh of the flesh, you'll reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit of the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. You've been putting seeds in the ground, getting ready for this late spring, summer stuff that's supposed to come in. You didn't get tomatoes the moment you put that stuff in the ground. It has to grow for a while. It takes a while for this obedience thing, for God to make sure you're on target, and for God to teach you it's good to wait for things for a bit. It's good sometimes after you've been obedient, and it isn't always going the way you want, just to stand still and be quiet. God will honor his word. And he'll do it in a way that will honor his word and him and your obedience. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. I am terrible about waiting on things and people. I can't stand going to a store and asking someone for help, and they have no idea what they're doing. Now, I'm okay if they say, well, it's my first day. I go, hey, not a problem. When they go, oh, I don't know. You got some duct tape, pal? Oh, I don't know. Do you work in this department? Uh-huh. Can you go in the back and get the guy with the brain to come out and help me to find the duct tape so I'm not in here for the rest of my life? Oh, no. I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time standing in line. I almost didn't get in the military because they said follow that line right there, and I had a hard time with that. I have a hard time with red lights and stop signs. I do it mostly. I do it. I can't stand. I don't like to stand in line. Do not wait patiently. But if you stand still and be quiet, you're going to have to learn to wait patiently. But I'm not waiting on you, and I'm not waiting on life. I'm waiting on him. As long as I know that he is in control, because I committed my way unto the Lord, and I found that when I yielded to him, he gave me new desires because I trusted in the Lord. Oh, well, now. So when he says, all right, I'm not going to give you do what I want, what you want this minute. Just stand there and be quiet. So I'm going to be like that little boy. I'm just waiting. How long, Pastor Johnson? Don't know. Not in my program. It's his program. He had made everything beautiful in his time. Wait patiently for him. You have enough simple confidence to just rest in the Lord? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.